To be in South Africa in these heady days is to find yourself in a glossy promotional video for the National Tourism Board, or in the chorus line of a musical alongside dancing street urchins, thieves with hearts of gold, and a show-stopping number with the lyrics, "Crime and hate are on vacation. We all live in the Rainbow Nation." It's too good to be true. As Barry Berak of the New York Times put it, excitement about the Football World Cup is so elevated here that even many of the unhappy are happy. 2 days before the monumental kickoff, I drove to Johannesburg and observed spontaneous street parties on roadsides and bridges, with people gathered in yellow Bafana Bafana shirts, hugging each other and blowing vuvuzelas. Construction workers in hard hats looked down from their scaffolds to smile and wave. One day before kick-off, I was in Alexandra, a township that 2 years ago was torn by xenophobic violence, and where I could see humble shacks, a burned-out bus, and a crooked sign hammered onto a tree that said, "Cockroach Killer Available." Yet here I met Vince DiTinti, a 28-year-old panel beater. "I'm feeling so grateful," he told me. "I'm having grace in my body. It's the first time the World Cup has come to South Africa. Kids, adults, grannies, everybody is happy. We thank God for what he did." And on the big day itself, I fell for the architectural daring of the Soccer City Stadium, admired the colourful hats and costumes of the good-humoured supporters, and relished an opening ceremony that defied slick technology in favour of the human body and a giant dung beetle. All stood for the national anthems, and when it was the turn of Nkosi Sikelel' Africa, I looked over my shoulder to see black, white and Indian South Africans all singing their lungs out. When South Africa scored, a middle-aged woman beside me turned and beamed and clasped my hands. A day later, after watching England and the United States in Rustenburg, I saw a black South African perform a flamboyant dance, with deadly seriousness, on the veranda of a bar that was doing the best business in its history. Then a white South African joined him, and they danced in tandem, a scene that would have been cut from Clint Eastwood's Invictus as too cheesy to swallow. But I wasn't sure all my English compatriots entirely caught the upbeat mood. When Robert Green's butterfingered blunder allowed the Americans to equalise, the atmosphere inside the stadium turned a little sour, striking a discordant note in this warmest and friendliest of all World Cups. And when England striker Emil Heskey blew a chance by firing straight at American goalkeeper Tim Howard, I watched a young England fan rise from his seat, lift his arm like an executioner, and bring his vuvuzela crashing down on a railing, shattering it to pieces. A friend remonstrated with him furiously and went red in the face. Righteous English aggression seems jarringly out of place at a party where almost everyone is determined to have a good time. Right now, the atmosphere in South Africa reminds me of what I found during a stay in America in late 2008. Obama mania. Anything is possible, people convince themselves euphorically, and the future has to be preferable to a recent past they'd rather forget. A herd mentality can be a dangerous thing, as those on the receiving end of vigilantism in townships can attest. But right now, South Africa is in a virtuous circle. Patriotic pride and optimism is the meme spreading from mind to mind, expressed in national flags flying from car windows and people walking with a spring in their step. Danny Jordaan, the chief World Cup organiser, proclaimed, "Friday's opening game can be counted as one of the great moments in our history. We waited 27 years for Mandela to be released from jail, and we waited 16 years to host this event. This was worth the wait. It was a day as big as when South Africans cast their vote in the first democratic election." Can this really be true? Can the famous lines zigzagging to vote for Mandela in 1994 really be compared with the queues at Sepp Blatter's ticket centres in Sandton and Soweto in 2010? That depends on whether you think political watersheds are more important than cultural, religious or sporting ones. The likes of Mandela and Obama have shown how difficult these are to separate. Mass movements can shake mountains, whatever the source. football might be a glorious trivia consisting of 22 men chasing a sponsored ball of air, but if enough people believe it matters, then it matters. This World Cup is a watershed. To host it is to declare to the world that South Africa has normalised, that at last it should be better known for sporting events and tourist attractions than racism, crime and HIV. John Carlin, the author of Invictus, told me last year, South Africa has lost the epic singularity it had, for good or bad, and become an ordinary country. Perhaps, when the bunting comes down and the paper plates drift away in the wind, there are all sorts of fears of a World Cup hangover, years of paying off all those beautiful stadiums, and the dark side of the new nationalism, a revival of xenophobia. But for now, over to Irving Berlin. There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music, and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.